well-kept secrets of Canadian banks are being exposed. Confessions of an ex-banker reveals all the tactics that banks and investment firms use to make millions in hidden fees by selling products that they wouldn't even buy for themselves. John Callis, ex-banker, certified financial planner for almost 20 years, and whistleblower, has witnessed it all, and he is sharing it with everyone. You'll learn investment strategies that your advisor doesn't want you to know, how to eliminate thousands of dollars in hidden fees every year, how to negotiate the absolute lowest rate for your mortgage, how to get the highest interest rates for your GICs, and much more. And now, the host of Confessions of an Ex-Banker, John Callis.
All right, thank you everybody again for joining me here on Confessions of an Ex-Banker. My name is John Callis. I am a certified financial planner for very close to 20 years now in Montreal, and I'm the owner of Merit Financial Planning. We're a fee-based financial planning firm. We basically have clients across, obviously, Montreal, Quebec, across Canada as well. So let me get right into it now, because we have a lot to talk about on this fourth episode of six for the Unbiased RRSP Advice Corner. And a little recap of what we've done in the past. So step one was basically make a contribution in your RRSP and park it. Put it somewhere safe, somewhere where you have access to it to make different types of investments. All this is done just to get your RSP slip and put it in your taxes. Step two, you talk with a planner. And you basically figured out how much you need to invest every year, how long you need to save, how many years you need to save to reach your goals, and what is the rate of return that you need to reach those goals. Now, what will determine the rate of return that you will get is how you allocate your monies, the RSP contribution that you just made, and any future RSP contributions, how you allocate that money between the three asset classes that exist. And this is what I talked about in episode number three. There's basically three categories of investments. One being cash, very, very safe, just like the RSP contribution that you just made. One being fixed income or safety, like GICs or bonds. And the third one being an owner of a company or many companies, like 100 shares of IBM, or for that matter, you know, the corner grocery store. So now that we've done all those three steps, it's time to pick the actual investments that you will use. And again, it all depends on your asset allocation. So say, for example, that you sat down with your planner and you both figured out that you need, again, just for argument's sake, 10% in cash, 40% in GICs or fixed income, and 50% in stocks. Now, before I continue, I just want to give you one piece of very important information. If your advisor has not sat down with you and done these steps before actually recommending you what type of investment you should have, you know what? Walk away, because under no circumstances should anybody make any kind of investment without having sat down and thoroughly looked at what your goals are, how much volatility you're comfortable with, and to explain you volatility, and then what rate of return you actually need to earn for your retirement. So if you walk into a bank or your advisor and they don't review your plan, or for that matter, if you don't have a plan, they just start recommending products to you, well, that's like a doctor recommending medication for somebody who walks in and says, I have pain in my back. And then the doctor says, oh, take this. This will help you. So this is not the route you want to go on. You want to make sure that you get a proper, very detailed analysis before you actually decide what types of investments you need to make for your goals. So now back to the 10-40-50 split. The 10% is quite easy in cash. You buy a redeemable GIC. You don't have too much choice when it comes to that. And some people ask, why should I have any kind of cash in my portfolio or liquid investments? Well, it's a good idea to have some cash because opportunities might come, which may be rare. Like if the markets fall by 10 or 15 or 20% very, very quickly, not a bad time to deploy some of that cash that you have on the sidelines and buy stocks or buy any kind of investments for that matter, at a pretty good discount. So again, not much choice when it comes to the type of investment you need to buy for the cash portion. Now, the 40% fixed income, the choices are either GICs or you buy government bonds or provincial bonds and corporate bonds too. When a company wants to, let's say, invest in a plant that'll cost, you know, $50 million, they might just go out there and say to investors, we need $50 million. Whoever wants to invest will give you, let's say, 3% per year for the next 5 years, and then you'll get your capital back. So that's a bond, and that's a safe investment if you hold on to it until maturity. And the other way of buying bonds or safe investments is through some kind of basket of many different bonds, and that would be mutual funds. It would also be my preferred product, which is exchange-traded funds. And I'll get into ranting and raving about exchange-traded funds in just a few moments, but that gives you an idea of what is available for the safety portion. And now the equity portion of your investments, where you can buy individual stocks, you can buy a basket of stocks like mutual funds, you can buy an ETF, you can also purchase products that companies create themselves, investment companies. It's their own product and it's available only for their own clients. So basically what that means is, let's say you're a client of Bank of Montreal. Well, they have some products that are exclusively for Bank of Montreal clients, not like mutual funds. Their characteristics are like mutual funds, except that they created a certain product and it's available for higher net worth clients, let's say. So those are the options that you have. And let's get now into ETFs. Exchange traded funds basically work like mutual funds. And I'm specifically saying exchange traded funds now because this is, again, the product of my choice and for many reasons, which I'll explain. So exchange-traded funds are like mutual funds where it's a basket of different types of investments. So and there's thousands of ETFs. So there's some ETFs that only invest in Canada. Some ETFs that what they basically do is follow the index that they are investing in. Meaning you've heard of the TSX, you've heard of the Dow Jones, maybe you've heard of the Standard & Poor's 500. These are basically indices that say how the markets did during a particular day. So if we hear that the TSX went up 150 points to 15,600, that means it gained 100 points on the value that it had the day before, 15,600 or 15,500. So it's basically, when you hear the TSX, it's a basket of 300 stocks. There's other indices for Canada as well, like the TSX 50, if I'm not mistaken, or 60. So it's basically they're grouping a whole bunch of stocks together and they're telling you how the stocks did over a period of a day or a month or a year. So when you're buying an ETF, you're basically mimicking the index. So the Dow Jones, for example, has basically that index is comprised of 30 stocks. There are ETFs that'll invest exclusively in those 30 stocks. So you're basically buying the Dow Jones. The big difference between mutual funds and exchange traded funds are the following. One, the huge majority of time, exchange traded funds have always beaten have always beaten mutual funds or what we call managed investments, where there's a manager. An exchange traded fund just mimics the index. There is no manager that'll say, let's buy this or let's sell that. So basically, exchange traded funds have always beaten the returns of mutual funds. And one big reason is the fees. Mutual funds will charge you anywhere between 2 and 2.5% to invest or to have a diversified portfolio between the three asset categories that I mentioned earlier. So you buy a mutual fund, you're paying 2 to 2.5%, and the costs are hidden. They're not really shown on your statement or anywhere other than, you know, I've always said page 135 of a huge book that they send you once a year, which is a prospectus, and there you're able to find what fees are charged for the mutual funds that you own. Exchange traded funds will charge you as little as 0.05%. That's 5 basis points. That's dirt. That's next to nothing. It's almost, you know, you don't even have to consider it. It's incredible the difference in fees. And here in Canada, Canadian investors pay the highest mutual fund fees than anywhere else in the world. So this is why exchange-traded funds have become the product of choice for many investors. But I'll tell you this, your advisor very likely has not mentioned them to you. And the reason being, they don't get paid as much as they do when they sell you mutual funds. The pay that they get from exchange-traded funds are pretty much zero or very, very minimal. And what I've been noticing recently is, since clients are asking more questions about exchange-traded funds, I've noticed portfolios, when clients come to me with, you know, they're looking for a second opinion, I've noticed portfolios sort of sprinkled with a few exchange-traded funds just to show their client that, you know, they're using this product that all the non-biased professionals are talking about. So it's very interesting to see that and how they're starting to recommend exchange-traded funds, but again, not at high levels or not a high amount. I think most, if not all, of your investments should be in exchange-traded funds. So these are the products of choice that for me and my clients. And as I said, there are exchange-traded funds for safe investments like bonds or GICs, and for equity investments, stock investments. So again, different exchange-traded funds that are available here, let's say for Canadian investments, are, as I mentioned earlier, mimic the Toronto Stock Exchange, and you'll pretty much get the return that the index will do, which has, as I've mentioned, beaten most, if not all, mutual fund managers for long periods of time. You can, you know, there's also exchange-traded funds that only invest in dividend-paying stocks or in financial services like banks and insurance companies. There are literally hundreds and hundreds of choices that are available. There are many, many choices to diversify yourself with U.S. Stocks and European, the Far East, Japan, Hong Kong. Everything, anything under the roof is available through ETFs, and it's a fantastic way to diversify your portfolio and a great way to save on fees as well. There's also several exchange-traded funds that do not distribute any income. What does that mean? When you buy, let's say, a mutual fund or an exchange-traded fund, for that matter, that invests in bank shares, well, bank shares pay around 4% in dividends. So if you had $100,000, you're going to end up with an income of $4,000. That's just the cash that you receive from dividends. That doesn't include any growth or any loss, for that matter, in the exchange-traded fund. So what ends up happening is people who don't really need the income just reinvest that $4,000 that they've made, but they pay taxes on it because it's income paid to you, whether you're investing it again or not. So you can have your investments go down, so your $100,000 might be worth $10,000 or $90,000, for example, a year from now, and you're still paying taxes because you made $4,000. Ouch, that hurts. For the $4,000 from dividends, a good way around that is there are exchange-traded funds that do not distribute income, and the only time that you pay taxes is when you actually sell the investment, and the taxes that you would pay on that is based on what's called capital gains. So if you bought the shares, for example, at $10 and they've gone up to $13, well, that $3 is taxable, and that's what you'll pay when or if you sell the investment. Now, again, coming back to something that pays dividends or interest, that income is taxable in the year that it's earned. So you're paying taxes. If you don't need the income, there are solutions out there that do not pay an income, and they only accumulate gains via the capital gains route. So definitely look into those. Ask your advisor about these types of products, and hopefully they can give you some advice on that. So that's it for today. That was part 4 of 6 parts. Thank you for joining me. If you have any questions, as always, you can reach me at john.kalos, K-A-L-O-S, at meritfinancialplanning.ca. Merit is M-E-R-I-T, financialplanning.ca. You can go check out my website, and you can follow me on LinkedIn as well, on Twitter, where I give quite a bit of information and advice that a lot of people have found valuable. So definitely go check that out if you're interested in hearing more. Now, I always leave you with this fact that money is a good thing, but it doesn't come with instructions. So go out there and find yourself an independent, unbiased financial planner who does not get paid based on the investments that they recommend. That's it for now. We'll catch up again on part 5, which will happen in the next few days. Thanks.
You've been listening to Confessions of an Ex-Banker with John Callis, brought to you by Merit Financial Planning, where our certified financial planners are helping Canadians keep more of their money every day. Applying what you learn in this show will save you thousands of dollars every year and give you an insider's look at the strategies that the most famous investors have been using for years but have been hidden from you. To find out the exact amount you could be saving right away, call us for a free consultation at 514-819-3370. That's 514-819-3370, or visit us at meritfinancialplanning.ca and follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn.